This is CliffCentral.com.
Bitch, sit down. Be humble. Bitch, sit down.
Be humble. Bitch, sit down.
I mean,
come on.
It's pretty straightforward if you ask me.
Exactly. If you ever needed to know.
Be humble. Bitch, sit down. Mm-hmm. All right, there's a little Kendrick Lamar on a Thursday morning for you. So much to talk about. Can we, since we were talking about people who sexually harass other people with a Gupta story that's just broken in the last couple of days, I have a statement from Camille Cosby.
The wife.
That's right, Bill Cosby's wife. This was read out on the steps of the court. Now, you know, here you would think Bill Cosby and his wife would know to shut up and leave well alone.
Mm.
They've managed to get a mistrial declared here. They might not be so lucky the next time. This doesn't mean it's gone away. It doesn't mean Bill Cosby in a hand. All right?
A.K.A. Paul.
All right. Bill Cosby in a hand. Because that's what some guy was shouting outside the courtroom. That's exactly... I swear to you, I'm going to play you that clip too. He said it like that. Bill Cosby in a hand. Like, no, there's no end to any of those words. Bear cat in here. All right.
And I believe it. I haven't even heard the clip, but
play
I believe
it. That. Bear cat be a bear, hit power bear. That's what the guy said. I don't know where they hired this dude. He must be from Bell Pottinger, but let's leave it alone. So here's Camille Cosby's spokeswoman. She has a spokeswoman. Talking about Bill and the mistrial. This is straight after. Shut up, lady. Mm. Go and hide away. Like, get in a car and drive away, and Bill can do a little ba-ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba dance at home once he gets home. He and Camille can, like, clink champagne glasses. And maybe he can put something in her drink. I don't know.
But I reckon she beats him.
Whoa. Look, she'd have every right to,
yeah, does,
if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the statement, and then we'll talk. All right.
How do I describe the district attorney? Heinously and exploitively ambitious. How do I describe the judge? Overtly arrogant and collaborating with the district attorney. How do I describe the counsels for the accusers? Totally unethical. How do I describe many, but not all, general media? Blatantly vicious entities that continually disseminated intentional omissions of truth for the primary purpose of greedily selling sensationalism at the expense of a human life. Historically, people have challenged injustices. I am grateful to any of the jurors who tenaciously fought to review the evidence, which is the rightful way to make a sound decision. Ultimately, that is a manifestation of justice based on facts, not lies. As a very special friend once stated, truth can be subdued, but not destroyed. Moreover, I express humongous gratitude to counselors Brian McMonagle and Angela Abrusa for their hard work. Mr. McMonagle for his passionate and powerful articulations of truth. Ms. Abrusa for her thorough research to bolster Counsel McMonagle. To Mr. Andrew Wyatt for his unequivocal skills in public relations.
Right.
To our team, who work diligently and intelligently, to our staffs for their continuous commitment to our family and me, and to our children, grandchildren, and other family who loves us, and to our dear friends and supporters who never gave up on us, despite it all, Camille Cosby.
All right, there's Camille Cosby's statement. Here's the guy who said, Bill Cosby here, hey, pop back. All right, just listen to this.
The ruling comes days after jurors told the judge they were deadlocked. He told them to try to reach an agreement. The 79-year-old didn't testify during his six-day trial for aggravated indecent assault. Andrea Constand testified that Cosby drugged and sexually assaulted her at his Pennsylvania home in 2004. Cosby has stated he only gave Constand Benadryl and that the incident was consensual. Dozens of women have accused Cosby of sexual misconduct. This was the first time he was criminally charged. While the statute of limitations ran out in many of those cases, some have sued him in civil court. Constand sued Cosby in civil court in 2005. During a deposition, Cosby admitted to getting prescriptions for Quaaludes and that he planned to give them to women he wanted to have sex with.
So he's already admitted that, by the way. I mean, and this is his wife's statement you just heard.
Ugh.
Like, the juror's the problem, the judge is the problem, the prosecutor's the problem. The only person who seems not to be a problem here is Bill. This Camille is a very forgiving wife, and she's completely against everyone else. Mm. There's just no middle ground with her. Well, I mean, what a lucky guy Bill is to find a wife like this, right?
An understanding wife.
So loyal.
The attorneys tried to prevent Cosby's admission from being used against him in the criminal case. They argued Cosby gave that testimony with the understanding that he wouldn't face criminal charges.
Mm.
But in December 2016, a judge ruled the deposition...
All right, I want to find this guy. Let me find this guy who says that Bill Cosby power bear. This is what you need to hear. Because this is the guy I was blown away by. He could not wait to talk to, he even said, tell Gloria Allred, that's the lawyer for the victims, to go back to law school.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah, this guy did not hold back. This is, I think he was Bill Cosby's lawyer, or at least spokesperson, one of the two. So have a listen to this. This is pretty impressive stuff. Here he is, saying his say, giving us all an idea of what's going on in his head, all right? You want to hear what he had to say?
And before questions, before we leave, I want to say something in the words of Huey P. Newton. Power is the ability to define phenomenon, making it act in a designed manner.
Huey P. Newton, a civil rights leader, who was talking about the civil rights movement, not the rights of one man who has been accused of raping over 50 women. But that's okay. You could borrow those words. It's like me quoting Nelson Mandela before I kill somebody.
Power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in a designed manner. Mr. Cosby, power is back. It's back. It has been restored. The jurors, they use their power to speak. And Mrs. Cosby, power is back. So the legacy didn't go anywhere. It has been restored. And for all those attorneys who conspired like Gloria Allred, tell them to go back to law school and take another class. Thank you.
Mr. Cosby, power back.
Yeah.
People think, you know, they just hope
that's how
the credibility
speak,
of a quote
wow.
will I mean, elevate the entire what situation.
What a cheek. You got some cheek, like quoting Huey P. Newton from the Civil Rights
how
Movement.
How dare you?
When you got Bill Cosby, who's accused of, like, fingering and jerking off over, like, passed out women.
Mm.
How do you even look yourself in the mirror after you've taken something like the civil rights movement, which is about treating black people in America equally, about rights to education, to being able to sit on the same goddamn bus, Rosa Parks? These are great people. You quote those people to defend Bill Cosby? You creep. He works for Bell Pottinger, I'm sure.
All creeps.
You know,
from now on, work for Bell Pottinger.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't be surprised, actually. I wouldn't put that
shockingly
down.
Inappropriate for what's happened in this matter. Shockingly inappropriate.
You see, even Harry Nell thinks that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
You know, back to that statement, I really do believe that it was written ahead of the judgment.
Of course it was.
And it was regardless of whether it was a positive or negative outcome. And given that it was positive for their side, why was it even the outcome, rather? Why was the statement even read? Because this mistrial was not a judgment. And it's still going to be the exact same judge who continues mm-hmm. with the trial. Now you've gone out, you said all these nasty things about the judge. I would sort of hold that against
you. What do you think the judge is going to do now, Dick?
What idiots?
Yeah. You should have played it well for your
just keep quiet.
Mr. Cosby power back.
You really didn't have to say anything.
Thank you to the judge for applying the law evenly. And of course, if there are ensuing matters, we will comment on those at appropriate times. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. These guys had no PR consultant at all in this situation.
But also, it was just too emotional. It was too, like, I'm no PR specialist, but it was too angry, it's too upfront. Oh. It's like they had an agenda which they were trying to push. They weren't looking to clear someone's name. It was like
they're suffering from that winner's glow when you feel like, ha ha, in your face. Yeah.
But they didn't even win. This thing's not over.
But they had to portray their thing like that.
Yeah. Their statements and their speeches seem to suggest that they feel like they came out as the winners in this round.
Yeah, just in case you're any doubt. That's why she was shouting about, how do I describe? Well, just say it, because you're describing something. So it's a redundant phrase if you use five times.
Well, let me tell you, Ben, as the youngest judge at the Prism Awards, you know.
You know
the,
about PRC. How would you handle this?
I would say they were stupid. Full stop. Bottom line. That's all about.
Okay, I'm going to give you a job now. Ben and Mabali and Sia, I'm going to make you Bill Cosby's spokesperson. I want you to come up with just one line that you would have said after this mistrial as someone who's paid by Bill Cosby to make him look good.
Sure,
just
that's a tough job.
Be a spin doctor for 5 seconds. Amanda, you're in this too. You have to think of something you would say, and you're not allowed to crib Big Hubby Power Back. All right?
Okay. Yeah, damn it.
Big Hubby anything! You're not allowed to borrow that.
Gareth, I would say, as you've seen today, my client has cooperated with the laws in place, and we are just happy that justice has served its purpose.
Okay. See ya.
You see, given that I'm slightly
be a little more charming
emotive.
Be a little more charming than Ben.
Well, I'm relatively somber because, you know, I don't want my client's going blind, Gareth.
Right.
He's an old
man. Yeah, he can't see
what's
going on.
I take no delight in this mistrial.
Right.
Or it's the fact that I'm in,
You see, my basis, my statement would be something to Ben's
Remember, you're looking after Bill here.
Plus, my client, Mr. Cosby, is glad that justice was served today and is looking forward to go home to spend time with his wife, loving daughters, and his upcoming 80th birthday.
Good move, Sia.
Yes, three daughters. If were the girls, I would have beat him up by now.
Yeah,
this is my dad.
And none of their friends sleep over anymore.
In fact, what you should say.
Four daughters.
His loving wife and four daughters know the character of this man. Mm-hmm. And despite everything you've heard in the media, Bill, anything.
And he's turning 80 on the 12th of July.
Right.
So.
And he's legally blind, is what they say, right?
All right. Mabali,
his wife will lead him home.
She will help him put the pill in the drink for the next woman. Mubs, what would you say if you were Bill Cosby's spokesperson?
Okay.
What would you add?
I would add, I mean, Sia, how can we top what you just said?
Yes, I agree.
But I would add something along the lines of, we are content that the mistrial means that Mr. Cosby gets to go home, although we would have preferred to be able to prove our client's complete innocence. You know, because a mistrial doesn't say...
It's still up in the air.
It just kind of says that, oh, well, we're deadlocked. Like, we don't really know. So I would have added that, you know, we will continue to try and prove our client's innocence because there's going to be an appeal, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be an appeal.
What do you want to add anything to this, Amanda?
On a team effort, we would say that we trust in the justice system.
Right.
And now our client can carry on living his life.
All right. I would say, here's what I would say.
Yes.
I'd say, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for coming here today. Mr. Cosby is going to have a party at his house for everyone who is gathered outside the courtroom. And for any of these women's who has been saying these things about him, we're going to have a party, punch bowls, we're going to have a pool, we're going to have some dances, we're going to have some drugs, whatever you want. Come along. All is forgiven. Mr. Cosby got a very short time to live. He want to live it up. If anybody want to come along to the party, here is the address. That's what I would do. Especially girls in sororities at campuses across the United States. You are most welcome. Bring your bikinis.
You know who should have been there to counter what that guy said when he said Bill Cosby has his power back? Kendrick Lamar should have been there to say, hola, bitch.
Be humble.
Sit down.
Sit down.
All right. Well, there we go. Never a dull day in Cosby land.
I'd like to know, Mabali, you know, you as a woman, if your father was accused of something like this.
Oh, hell. I don't know. I don't know what I would do.
You think you'd just be quiet? I mean, that is the sensible thing to do here. And even whether Bill's spokespeople have said the right thing or not, him just staying quiet is a good move. I think so. I mean, you remember in those interviews where he just refused to comment, full stop?
Mm-hmm.
Said, I'm not going to comment on these things. You know why? It leaves space in your mind. You're like, well, he hasn't incriminated himself.
maybe he is a victim. Maybe these women are after his money. And for people who are sympathetic to an old man who's going blind, he's Dr. Huxtable from television.
Mm.
This lovable fat Albert. Hey, hey, hey.
Ugh.
He made that sound, by the way, as they came out of the courtroom. That's the weirdest thing. I think he's got like serious problems, like psychological problems, because as he came out of the courtroom, he went, hey, hey, hey.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I'll find a recording of that for you. Very odd. Very weird, right?
And then sticking to this whole PR thing, if you really were handling Pill's PR,
Pill,
would you encourage the fact that, yeah, let's go, let's milk this, hence why we're now doing these town hall meetings, or would you rather say, lay low, keep quiet?
Lay low.
He's been laying low far too often.
Yeah.
Lay low alone.
He's got to stay down.
Because in 2 weeks' time, there'll be a brand new news story that will be distracting all of them. So just
Yeah, right. In fact, that is a good PR strategy for everyone and anyone in the 21st century. Is just understand, no matter how horrible your story is, they're going to forget about it in 4 days.
There's another one coming.
Yeah. Mm. And there'll be someone else. Someone will axe murder their family. Someone will set fire to a building. There'll be some terrorist attack. There'll be a new prime minister in Britain. Something's going to happen, and your story will be pushed to the next page. And sure, for those 3 or 4 days, it's going to be an uncomfortable ride.
Mm.
But please believe me, people forget. The news cycle is so fast now that the only thing you should know is that when in doubt, say nothing.
Especially in Bill's, especially in Bill's line of work. I mean, there's always the, you know, the church that help him out.
That's also a good point.
You know, there's going to be a an interfering priest pretty soon.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the church would be giving him support.
No. They'll help out with a sex scandal.
That's true too. But you could always say, you know, I've renewed my vows to Jesus, and I've cleansed my soul, and I've asked for forgiveness. People will like that too.
Yes.
It's amazing how forgiving people get.
And
you don't even
have to say it, but be spotted at one of those mega churches, sitting in the front pew, you catch the spirit, you roll around, Bill.
People forgive you.
Yeah. Telling you.
catch the spirit.
Right.
That's it. In the words of Kendrick Lamar, be humble. Right. Bitch, sit down.
What else is going on in the news? Let's check in on some of the big stories.
Well, we could begin by talking about why Rob Kardashian is trending.
Okay, I need to know, because I see he's the number one trending topic on Twitter, and Amanda just had an apoplexy in the production. What is the story here?
I never, ever, like, sit on Instagram forever. And yesterday, I was just on there, like, minding my own business, and all of a sudden, these nudes just popped up.
Nudes?
Rob Kardashian posted nudes of Blac Chyna.
Oh, Jesus.
And then, now, I see he removed the nudes. But then, he's also removed himself off Insta.
Instagram removes the nudes, and then... removes him.
Yeah. So then,
I think that's how it works.
But I mean, that's
just. Is he banned from Instagram?
That's one part of the story, right?
Yeah.
See ya?
So, here's a Kardashian class, and that's class with a K in this incident. So, if you don't know who Rob Kardashian is, it's the only son.
He's fat, right?
He's fat, going through a lot in his life right now.
Right.
He hooked up with
Blac
Chyna, who is his half sister's, Kylie Jenner.
Yeah.
Kylie Jenner dated a rapper by the name of Tyga.
Yeah.
Previously, Tyga was with Blac Chyna.
Okay.
And they
had
a kid. And so already it's some sort of incestuous, weird situation.
And Blac Chyna, let's just be clear. Mm. Blac Chyna is not a successful performing artist on the scale of Tyga.
She was a stripper.
She was a stripper.
Okay.
And she's known just as like a video vixen. Good
Has
on Instagram.
Has she got a bigger booty than the other Kardashians?
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. So, straight after splitting up with the rapper Tyga, Blac Chyna got together with Rob Kardashian, and they had a daughter by the name of Dream 7 months ago. They've had this tumultuous little up-and-down relationship for a while now, but now it seems officially they're done, because Rob Kardashian went onto Twitter yesterday and started just like tweeting the truth, or the alleged truth, about their relationship, including the fact that, firstly, posted these pictures, these nude pictures of Blac Chyna from the 4th of July, shortly after she slept with someone else, he says on Twitter, along with the fact that, I can't believe she did this to me.
You're dating a stripper, dude.
Don't be surprised, you know?
What do you expect?
He says that for their anniversary, he actually paid for Blac Chyna to have weight loss surgery. So here we are thinking, oh, yeah, she looks good just naturally. But he paid for that and now exposes that, exposes the fact that she takes drugs, should not be allowed to see his their daughter anymore, and it's just messy. You know, it's just a low
so
blow.
Tacky.
I feel bad for him because he's just.
This is what happens
in the head.
This is what happens when people who are meant to live in caravans make some money.
Is that really? Caravan with the cave?
Yeah, okay. I mean that whole family are just so disgusting. A lot of them are such repulsive people. They are. They are exactly the opposite of what is considered to be acceptable, socially. Desirable contributors to society. This family, and listen, you know, I've met Kim, mm-hmm. and I met Chloe, and I met, who's the other one? Oh, no, it was just the two of them.
Okay.
Right? They came in, remember, Mubs? Mm.
And they marveled over a coin, right?
Yeah, like a 5-cent coin or whatever. They were blown away by this, that it existed. I mean, whatever the case may be, I don't have a personal gripe with these Kardashians. They come up in the news all the time, but it's kind of funny because... They will do anything for attention. And then there's the mom, and that's a whole story, and the sex tapes, and that's a whole story, and the shows, and Ryan Seacrest, and then
and
there's
Caitlin.
I was gonna get to that. Yeah. Then there's this poor man who's caught in the middle of this bizarre family, and these girls all get so much attention, and they've made huge amounts of money, credit to them.
Huge
by giving a stupid public exactly what they want.
Mm.
Good for them. This is media genius. Don't get me wrong. In some ways, I'm very jealous of these people. But then there's this guy, and he's an Olympic decathlete. He's like a manly man, and then he wants to turn into a woman because these women around him are just – there's just unbelievable pressure for attention in that family. Then there are the other two younger daughters that he has with Chris who are both very, very pretty. They're both successful. They're also following in the footsteps of the older sisters. And then you get this fat son who's like he doesn't fit the picture. You know, he's not, no one wants to see him naked. No one wants to see him, full stop. He's like the least famous member of the family by a mile. And now he gets together with this tacky stripper with a fat ass and they have a kid called Dream. I mean, it's trailer park stuff. And then he's like outing her on social media with nudes, which is so classless. I mean, if this is the mother of your child, dude.
And can't you be sued for that? Like, it's revenge porn.
It's revenge porn, which is always disgusting. And then he also says that she takes drugs. Am I understanding that this is the kind of behavior that children know better than this? What kind of a family has Chris raised if this is how they behave?
You can't buy class, hey?
Well, she's raised the TV show. That's what she's raised.
Yeah, is it? Wow. Gosh,
wow. If Seacrest's behind this one, too, then he has bought into the right market because this family will do anything he tells them to. If Seacrest has written a script and they're following the script and Blac Chyna and Rob are all just players in this big bullshit reality show that everyone's falling for, then Seacrest is really the most powerful man in media history.
So I clicked on the Rob Chyna link on Twitter, mm-hmm. and the memes are just like they are killing me. They are giving me a good time. I'm just laughing.
All right.
But the sentiment here seems to be people are saying, "But Rob, how did you not know? How did you not know that she was using you? Because you know he was also apparently crying about how she's a gold digger because she was using me for my money." And it's like,
what else do you have?
I mean, like, what
do you have? What did you bring to the party?
Like, why is this a surprise and a shock to you? And I like what Snoop Dogg said because Snoop Dogg said,
"Love Snoop." Whoa,
oh, Uncle
I love
the way Snoop chimed
dude,
in.
Dude, yeah. Uncle Snoop.
He gets in on this stuff.
You know, Uncle Snoop, and he said this on his Instagram, but he basically said, "Quit crying to the internet, nigga. You got money to burn. Go buy another one. Just replace Chyna with another one, okay?" And then he said,
"Go
buy another one."
Oh, Snoop, you're a genius.
And then he said, "Blac Chyna just did what she was supposed to do. She saw a sucker. she went in and she got what she wanted out of him. That is what she was supposed to do because that's who she is.
Right.
And he's like, quit being a baby, stop crying on the internet, go get you another one. Get another one.
What a... This is my hero, Snoop Dogg. Guy's still, he gets it. I mean, no matter how many blunts he's smoked in his life, the guy knows what he's talking about, right? Snoop Dogg, what a genius. Thank you very much, Snoop. What's up, Ben?
I mean, like, that's case closed.
Right.
There's nothing more to say other than...
I'd like him to be the judge in the Cosby case. Snoop would wrap this up in seconds. So that's why Rob Kardashian was trending. Because I saw his name come up, and I'm sorry, I don't click on it. I knew Sia would explain it. So are these nudes?
I haven't seen any nudes.
Amanda, you saw the nudes. Are they very explicit?
I literally was just asking Luke. I was like, could I make money off the nudes? Because like,
you've got the screenshot.
I saved the nudes because I sent them to someone else.
Can you show me?
Yeah.
Bring them in here. Let me see these nudes. By the way, she's talking about Luca, who's our intern for... how long are you still here for? How many hours have you got left of community service?
Well, I'm here for today and tomorrow still.
All right.
Ah.
Yeah. He was in here fixing the studio with Greg yesterday.
And that song is stuck in my head now, thanks.
Snoop Dogg?
No, the Luca beating woman song.
It's a great song. All right, let's see. All right, so that's just a kiss picture. Okay, this way. All right, who is she kissing here? Is this
just,
guy
just
that
some
she
other
cheated
guy.
With? All right.
Oh, that's the guy that she...
But are these... I don't see any... Is that her? Is that her vagina?
Ooh.
That's her titties. All right. Oh, wow. Wow. He... Rob Kardashian's Twitter, or is this... This is his Instagram. 9.2 million followers. His byline under his name is, shop the latest styles from my Arthur George clothing line.
Class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, he sells socks and hats.
So there's a bit of vagina, and there's some ass.
Oh, okay.
No, there's a lot with a black vagina.
That's a lot of ass. There's not a lot.
Okay, you took a lot of screenshots here, Amanda.
You were on the ball.
Amanda, who did you send them to?
TMZ.
She broke the news. Amanda's a recent. He's trending.
It's so tacky. You know, I don't care who you've had a relationship with and you've ended up not being friends with, you fought with them. You cannot post revenge porn. It's just, there's some social norms and rules that go unspoken. Like, you don't do that. I don't think that's right. Especially if, you know, in the relationship, you take pictures with each other maybe. I know lots of couples who've done this. We all know the stories, the famous ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I know some normal couples who, you know, they'll like send each other little videos, little clips, little pictures. You know, it makes work interesting the next day. Who knows?
Mm. Mariki. We all remember Mariki or whatever.
A bunch of titty.
Her name was.
The chick from the hockey group. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. And she wanted to show pussy to her husband.
And she did.
Right.
Yeah. Go on, Margaret.
Nobody else's
name was.
Margaret. Margaret. That's her name.
Do you know there's also a tiny part of me that... is sort of rooting for Rob Kardashian in this, because as much as whether it's the mother or Ryan Seacrest who wants to fake like, oh, we're pretty and perfect, Rob is just like, I'm a fat slob.
I'm going to let this all hang out. I've got nothing to lose.
I will tweet shit.
Right.
Vagina booty.
No.
Okay.
Anyway, so poor old Black China. Now she's been a stripper, so a lot of people would have seen that anyway, but now it's all out there and she... For whatever she did in her life, the internet's forever, you know? Like, if you were a stripper once, so you had some guys see you naked, but they're not allowed to take pictures in the strip club, so you could become something after that. A lot of girls don't want to be known for being a stripper, and maybe they were in their previous life. Who are you to hold them to that forever? Now, forever on the internet, there's her ass, and by the way, it's not a... It's blotchy and it's bad. I mean, I've seen a lot of ass on the internet. It's not a good ass.
Well,
am I right?
It's not a photoshopped ass.
Jesus. I mean, Rob could have at least done her the service of like smoothing out those cheeks a little bit.
But like with the caption to the photo, it says that he paid to have it made smaller, and it's still big.
Hmm.
So he's upset that he paid for that, and it's like that still.
Oh my God!
And now people are saying, why didn't he pay for his own weight loss?
Now that's funny.
I mean. Yeah.
Why didn't you pay for your own? What's wrong with you?
Guys, just getting back to the brilliance of Ryan Seacrest. Maybe what he's doing is that he's pushing all these people to like a point, right, where he can have his masterclass show, 40 and finished, where he literally does documentaries on people who have literally just got off the rails. So what's Black China going to look like at 40?
I mean, she's...
Not great, right? Tattoos and surgery.
They all look like plastic now already. Yeah. So exactly. At 40, we have no idea what they're going to look
like. So they're all going to be completely drug-addled. They're going to be suicidal. They're going to have no way of making the money that they make right now. Seacrest then has this absolute pot of gold, which he can then mine forever. 40 and finished. And he'll have everyone. Because he's pushing them so hard now to be so over the top.
Yeah, it's just, it can't end well. This Kardashian story is not going to end well. You know, we talked yesterday to Rich Mulholland. What are the victory conditions for being a Kardashian? You seek attention, you get attention, and then what? Because no amount of money is going to save you. You're never going to be socially welcomed the way that someone, either who's anonymous or who's done good things, will ever be socially welcome. There's certain circles you'll just never get into. There's certain places you'll just never be able to go. You've cut yourself out of being anything but a joke in the footnotes of history. Like, no one's going to say, oh, Kanye can still do that. Kanye was a great rapper, still is a great rapper, musical talent. You know, the guy's a businessman. He's a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
They're never going to put his wife into the biog and say, well, this is her contribution. They're going to say he married a reality TV star who made a sex tape. That's what it's going to boil down to. And what are they going to end up? Old and unattractive. And the moment that happens, everything goes downhill. Everything.
Yep.
Because people are so superficial. Don't think that a fan of the Kardashians gives a damn about the Kardashians' feelings. They're watching it because it's a train wreck. So they want bad things to happen. These people's lives are going to become worse and worse from this point on, not better and better.
Yeah, if you want to get a sneak peek into it, Netflix have some really great documentaries called Life After Porn. I'm not saying they're doing porn but it's the same thing, right? You're throwing yourself so hard out there.
Yeah.
He says, I'm not saying they're doing porn, but it's the same thing.
Porn is about sharing everything, right?
Right.
Just porn's technical, what they're doing is similar. But once
that's
finished...
you're letting people into every private aspect of your life.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not like they can go now get a job to make a steady income. Although they won't have to because they made so much money. If they're smart, they would have used it. But then when their attention stops, that's the thing. It's like it becomes your lifeblood.
Mm. And remember, you do get addicted to fame.
Yes.
You get addicted to attention. So that's going to be a hard one for them to deal with. Anyway, look, now we know what the story is there. A lot of people could give a shit about the Kardashians, but I thought, you know, we need to keep abreast with what's trending and why the whole world cares about this. Why the hell not?
Okay, so there is a... Or did you want to get to messages or something?
No, you go ahead.
So there's a new U.S. survey that has revealed that solo interactions between the sexes in the workplace are still perceived and experienced as awkward.
Oh, hang on. What's solo interactions at work?
One-on-one interactions between men and women in the workplace.
Okay.
Is this a survey done by Tony Gupta?
No, Ben. This is an American survey. Now, earlier this year, U.S. Vice President Mike Pence joked about how he said that he would never dine privately with another woman other than his wife. And he said that he would never attend events with alcohol unless his wife was in his presence, too.
Are you 12? You have to have so little belief in your own self-control. You must really know that you're a terrible person deep down inside if you have to make rules like that for yourself.
So then, of course, Twitter exploded and, you know, a whole bunch of stuff was said in comments, including, you know, your sentiments, Gareth. Some praised the vice president for holding his wife and his marriage in high esteem. Others pointed out that his mindset, you know, will only serve to the detriment of women in the workplace.
Well, he's like the Taliban, right?
An issue
I mean, the Taliban cover up women because men can't control themselves.
Yes. So now, recently, a U.S. study revealed that many Americans hold very similar beliefs, actually, to Pence. According to the New York Times, a morning consult poll shows that one-on-one interactions with people of the opposite sex at work, mm-hmm. especially in social settings, is met with extreme caution. The poll results indicated that 60% of women say that it is inappropriate to have a drink with a male coworker who is not your spouse. 53% said the same thing about having dinner with a male coworker. Now, the men's responses followed closely on that, with 48% of men saying a drink alone with a female coworker is inappropriate, and 45% saying when it comes to dinner, it's unacceptable. So I'm now throwing the question out there to you.
Mm.
What do you say? What do you think about one-on-one interactions in the workplace?
Yeah, buddy, I'm not having dinner with you if that's what you're getting at.
Oh
no, well that's not what we're getting at.
It's a very long-winded approach, but the answer is no.
I'm not getting at that.
I find this bizarre. I really do find this very odd. So in order to stop you, because you're such an animal that you can't control yourself around a member of the opposite sex. Hang on a second. So you're such a baboon that you can't keep it in your pants, because if you're a guy, it's probably guys more than girls, you go out with a coworker. She works with you.
Yeah.
But you know you're not going to be able to keep it in your pants. So you just avoid any kind of one-on-one social interaction with any woman in the office, just because you can't trust your dick.
Yes.
Okay. That says something about you.
Plus.
And for you to have to drag your poor wife like Mike Pence does to all these things, just because you want her to be there to stop you from behaving like a baboon.
That's his safety.
Oh. Yeah, but Gareth, there's another element to it. It's what will people think, which is always the big... disaster here.
Oh, okay.
So even if you are a man of standards and morals who can hold his booze and penis
in
trial, it's the perceived, like, because corporates are such shitty places.
Yeah, people will talk.
I remember when I used to work in a corporate, I was seen as like being very flamboyant around women. Until
flamboyant or frivolous? I mean,
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what Ben's flamboyant looks like.
I was...
Give us details.
Just let me tell the story, okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I remember being like rumored to being like very friendly and flirtatious with women.
Oh, okay.
And until such stage, I never followed up on that because I had no intentions to. And then suddenly I became a homosexual to some woman.
Oh, right.
Because it's like, well, he's not interested in me, so he must be gay.
Yeah, okay.
Oh.
So, and that kind of shit would just happen on like, I mean, like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
But then someone from accounts drunk one day at a conference will tell you this and you're like, oh, well. But it's what people think, and then these stories get spread, and unbeknown to innocent parties, me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you go out with your wife every time, they have nothing to talk about. Oh, there's Mike Pence and his wife again.
You know, from the what you just said there, Ben, about what people think is so important. So, from a woman's perspective, for example, say your boss says, "Listen, I really liked that proposal that you sent me. Why don't you and I grab dinner and we can talk about it? We can flesh it out."
Right.
Next day in the office, all the other women are saying, "Oh, well, you know what she did last night.
She got fleshed out. She put out.
You know?" And then they question your work ethic and your credibility when things start going well for you. Is she sleeping her way to the top?
Mm-hmm. Totally forget that you're just better at the job.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid you might just be good at what you do.
So then that is why a lot of people in this poll, Gareth, said that they one-on-one interactions for them are awkward. So they would much then rather just...
I kind of get it now, and I think Ben makes a very valid point that it's actually about what other people think more than what you really do. Mm. I think I could control myself in most situations. I've been drunk around coworkers. I've been drunk around friends, girlfriends, very attractive single women. You've got to try and control yourself, right? I mean, that's just part of being an adult, evolved creature.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, come on. But it's not so much what you do or don't do. It's what other people think you might have done. And that does have some bearing. So I do get it. That's a good point. You see, Ben, you have your value.
I still can't believe that you were once flamboyant, though. I'm not buying that.
Flamboyant.
I'm not.
Yeah, maybe I was just trying to play down the flirtatious thing, because also I didn't see that.
How's that? So because you didn't, they thought you were hitting on them.
Yeah, because I was the only one comfortable to talk to actual girls in this, because everyone was like really conservative and boring.
And then when you didn't follow through, they, oh, he's gay.
Yeah, must be.
So you lose and you lose.
Must be.
Wow.
You see, but you can extend this further as well. Sucks. And it's about like, well, you can also, you know, they can say, oh, well, you're sucking up, or that's how you got the position. Or even at school, I was that kid because I hung out with teachers because I didn't have friends.
Well, because you were far too mature for your peers.
You know? But then there was that whole thing of, that's how you got that position, or, that's why you... Sorry.
See, you're sleeping with the teachers.
You got an A because you saw the D.
Here's a nice message. Just want to thank you guys. Been struggling with feeling low and possibly mild depression, but I'm looking forward to laughing every morning while listening to you guys. It uplifts me, never change. Isn't that nice? We're helping somebody.
Okay.
Every time North Korea messes up, the Kardashians get millions for a script. We know by now this is all a ploy. That's what some people are saying. Clearly, Busisiwe Mkwebane is captured. Irony in her Zulu name. What does Busisiwe mean?
Busisiwe, we are blessed.
Oh, so we're blessed with someone who's captured. All right, thank you very much for that. Jared says, revenge porn is against the law in the UK due to a lot of teenagers spreading pics of their girlfriends and boyfriends all over the web. You know, I've said this before. I think ultimately everyone's going to end up naked on the web, and it's not going to be an issue anymore. I really think, like, there isn't a celebrity. Name a celebrity. You'll find a picture of them. Name one.
Not Oprah.
Celine Dion actually just did
Oprah. Oh, yeah.
Celine Dion just actually did a shoot for Vogue, and one of the pictures is a nude picture, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's not in your face nude, but she's naked in the.
Celine Dion?
Hey, yeah, Gareth, what's your problem?
Someone went...
Do you not find her sexy?
No.
It's Vogue. Okay. Whose idea was that? It's Vogue. You know how they get with their artistic...
Oh. Yes.
What?
Direction.
Yeah.
Inspiration.
Celine Dion.
Do you know she's like only... sitting at home on a chair. This is like the least glamorous picture ever.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd rather see Black China.
But guys, she's in her early 40s.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
But
all power to her. It's just a very strange... I think that's the picture.
She was in between an outfit change on set.
It was like and she's just waiting for pizza at the front door.
Yeah, they took that
picture.
You
know, she doesn't look too bad for Celine Dion.
Dion. God. So she gives you zero sex appeal.
It's sort of like Anne Hathaway.
Why is that a surprise?
Let me tell you why. Anne Hathaway. No, hang on. Anne Hathaway, Celine Dion, Sarah Michelle Gellar. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Zero. I don't know what I like. Those three women are just they don't.
I don't know. I think you're being cruel here.
They're pretty. No. Just give me. They're pretty, but they're not sexy. Like, I'll tell you who's sexy. Margot Robbie. She's beautiful and she's sexy, right? And then you get those girls who are just sexy. Like, let me think of a good example. And I'm going to choose people who are not beautiful. All right.
Not beautiful, but are still sexy.
Angelica Houston must be in her, 60s?
Let's Google.
Angelica Houston, she played Morticia Adams. Right? So she's an older lady.
Ooh.
She's not pretty. She's not beautiful at all.
She's 65, yes.
But there's a look in her eyes.
Like
there's
Susan Sarandon.
Susan Sarandon, thank you.
Okay.
You get pretty and you get sexy. Like Celine Dion, with all that My Heart Will Go On. And
yeah.
She's not sexy. Come on, Ben, back me up on this.
I totally agree with you. Look, Celine Dion is a singer. Let's leave it at that, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
Christina Aguilera, she's not pretty. She's not classically beautiful, but she's got sex appeal.
Mm-hmm.
You got me?
Well, yeah, because she had a decade of skank appeal, which...
Well, that's what I mean. Exactly. Sometimes skank
assless chaps.
Yeah. Yeah.
She threw it out. She was dirty. Big feet, though.
No, there
massive
was,
feet.
There was actually a song called Dirty.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she had big feet?
Huge.
Oh, Ben
is always on this.
With the beautiful music video.
Exactly. You got to see the music video. Yeah. I told you to go watch
let's
it.
Keep
she
it moving.
Big feet.
She scared monsters like Caitlyn Jenner feet.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's I'm suddenly so not interested.
Oh, it was back a long time ago. I'm sure she
big
had the Medusa
feet with like hair on the toes.
No, I don't think. No, it's not hair.
Like long toes, like long velociraptor toes.
You've all got to see that Christina Aguilera music video. Beautiful.
Oh, she's got big feet.
It's a touching music video.
Do you find the song ironic then, because her feet aren't beautiful?
No, well that's her kind of beautiful.
Okay,
you know, big feet.
Oh,
everyone's got a things, yeah.
Interesting.
I'm the last person that's going to be
Jesus.
You're making judgments.
Just throwing it out there.
All right, but you know what I mean. There are beautiful and there are sexy. And I think it would probably go for men as well, Sia. There are very good-looking men who are very beautiful-looking, very handsome, but they got zero sex appeal. And then there are those manly men who have got like a... They don't look particularly good, but they got sex appeal.
But like
you
a
know
roughness
what I mean.
To like a like an Aussie charm.
But with men, you also have pretty men.
Like that's what I mean.
Yeah. They look... They look pretty.
And that's a turn-off for me, because I feel like I could break him.
That's a turn-off for me, too. Like, for me, Zac Efron is pretty. He's pretty. Yeah. He's not...
Oh, like, too chiseled.
No, he's just pretty.
Isn't that like, you get over it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Whereas someone like, Al Pacino!
like a Russell Crowe.
No, but like George Clooney was never pretty, essentially.
No, he's got... Okay,
he went through it, but yeah.
Like Thor.
Amanda, what do you got to throw in here?
Thor, yes. Right,
okay, so I don't know which Hemsworth that is, but I don't think he's been called pretty, but he's like got that grizzly side.
He's manly, yeah.
I think George Clooney is, like, gorgeous. I don't actually think that there's anyone better looking than him.
Wow.
In the whole world.
It's kind of like Brad Pitt was pretty for a bit, and now look at him.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt was definitely
but
pretty.
But there's also Alex Pettifer, who was in Magic Mike, and really good looking.
Listen,
too.
Amanda, all of them in Magic Mike.
I just can't get over that George Clooney's 56 years old, and he still gets way more girls than just about any 20, 30, 40-year-old, I know.
I think Amal would hope not, but yeah.
No, well, not since he got married, but that guy, I mean, he's estimated above every one of us, right?
Yeah, him and, although Leonardo DiCaprio might very well hold those numbers, hey?
Question to you two, Jane Fonda, she pretty or sexy?
Sexy, immediately, like she's, 80 years old or something?
Let's Google.
Well, you guys are pushing me age-wise here. I've never been this far.
No,
interesting.
I'm worried about
79.
Cobwebs. I got to tell you, I'm a little bit concerned about cobwebs and like Queen Victoria poking your head out.
Look, again,
79.
I just don't think you should be looking at people of this age. I had this.
You are ageist, you.
I know, and I said as much earlier this week. Is that we can't keep hoping for people to be beautiful. Once you get to a certain age, Mother Nature says, you know what, you. Yeah. Sit down, be humble.
Right. Okay, all right, fine.
That's what Mother Nature
says. If you want to drop the age thing, that's fine. So then, Selena Gomez.
Yeah,
she's
sexy.
I
think she's sexy. You know, with that, I didn't think so. And then 3 or 4 music videos later, I think she's sexy.
Okay, so Rihanna's not pretty.
Oh, no.
She's God.
She's
Rihanna is sex on
firebomb.
Legs.
Yes.
She's like, yeah, and then what? No, Rihanna is like sex just walking.
I was watching this episode of Tosh.0 recently, right? And he interviewed this guy who was a blind film critic. He reviews movies by just listening to them.
What did he have to say?
It's really, really funny. But he was like, what do you think? How do you describe someone like... Rihanna to a blind person because her music her whole thing is the fact that she will show you nipples and she will be grinding the crap out of something, right? So for a blind person, how did they get the appeal of Rihanna?
I suppose with a blind person, shouldn't you just like start giving him a lap dance and you'd be like, that's Rihanna? Like she,
see, but that's you'd have to go to those measures.
Yeah,
they would go. I don't see the big fuss about Rihanna. You'd have to give my laptop.
But some
you'd
of her lyrics are obvious. Like, come hit this, come tap that, come flip this, come suck that, come lick that.
Oh, but I mean,
she's not messing around.
But as a blind person, you get bored with that kind of stuff.
Imagination.
You have to,
go. your imagination will take you away.
But what if you've never? What if you've been blind from birth? How do you then imagine Rihanna? Because you wouldn't know. Blew my mind watching this interview.
Just imagine a sparkling in your loins. That's how she.
What's the thrill? I mean, like, how do blind people get the most out of sex? I'm thinking visually. For me, it's important to see what's going on. Mm. Any guy, you're visually very stimulated. So do they have to touch? Do they have to get involved in there? Is it smell? Is it taste? Is it sound?
And wouldn't everything be heightened?
Yeah, well, that's what they say, but...
If
you're blind, call me now. I need to know how you have sex.
Well, think about how people who can see will use blindfolds as something to heighten sex. Because when you can't see what your partner is doing, there's this anticipation of, what are you going to do? For a blind person, wouldn't it be that?
That's clever.
Totally magnified.
But now, what if you're blind from birth, right? So you've never seen boobs. You've never seen hair. You're like nothing, okay?
How do you know someone's beautiful?
Just try to think of that. Like...
Yeah, how do you know someone's hot? I mean,
because technically everyone can be hot. Some people might be a bit jigglier than the others, but every woman you sleep with, if you're a blind guy, it can be beautiful.
And you don't have a gauge or a standard.
Yeah.
You've seen...
No, there is.
How?
Voices. Because the blind...
Gareth, blind voiceover artists who are nasty.
No, listen, I think that if you're blind... Maybe the thing that will turn you on about someone is how they sound, how they smell, how they feel. Those things will matter a whole lot more to a blind person than whether or not you're pretty.
Mm.
All the stuff we're talking about, that all goes out of the window when you're a blind person, because the voice then matters.
Mm.
So what kind of voice is the sexiest voice?
Ah.
There's a question.
See, because it's all about ticking off stimulus, right? Mm-hmm. So when we see things, that just gets everything done in one go kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas if you haven't got that, like Gareth says, imagine being so intoxicated by someone's smell that you are, like, aroused beyond belief.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have that already, but, like, if that was one of your primaries, maybe blind people have better sex than we do.
You don't know.
And those smug bastards are sitting at home going...
And you don't have to, I mean, I suppose it matters if you get close enough to feel, but what you're wearing, that stuff doesn't matter as much to someone who's blind. How you sound would, and how you smell would, and...
How you feel.
Yeah. I think that stuff would be a lot, there's a lot of excitement around that for, not just for blind people, but for people who can see as well. It's just that those might be the things that turn them on a whole lot more. I mean, who's got the sexiest voice that you've ever heard? Morgan Freeman?
No, that's a voice of God. That's different.
Well,
sexiest voice.
Yeah. Who's got a great voice?
This is like blind person bar conversation. This is amazing.
Yeah. Right. Who would you choose?
Which
woman have you heard speak and you think, jeez, what a voice?
Ah, Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, because she got that husky kind of voice. Yeah.
She did that movie where she was the voice of the phone or something, and this dude fell in love with the phone. Yeah.
Called She.
And then she also starred as like this one of the animals in the Jungle Book remake.
Yep.
Oh, she was a snake. Yes. Ooh, Scarlett Johansson.
That's a good call.
So this guy would then watch that movie and go, geez, watch the Jungle Book, and it's going to be erotic for him.
You could be at Pick and Pay and you hear the announcement for a cleanup on aisle 3 and you could be turned on.
It's because of you there's a cleanup on aisle 3.
Tell you what wouldn't turn you on. So those people who talk on the speaker at the airport.
I can't attend number 45. It's going to be 4 minutes late and we're going to move you from gate number 4 to gate number 7. Thank you.
Attention all passengers.
Trevor Noah.
Shit, I had an erection, but it's gone.
Trevor Noah. Attention all passengers. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And then also in the same breath of the Jungle Book, though, Idris Elba.
Idris, yeah, I could, I would agree with Idris.
How about this voice?
I'm a bad girl.
You like that?
Who is that?
I don't know.
Ugh.
She's a bad girl, yeah.
That voice carries.
You like that voice? How about this voice?
Are you stroking your cock?
No, definitely not.
It depends where you are in life, I guess.
Am I making you hot?
No, are you sure?
And I need you to get my teeth out.
Oh.
I took out my teeth already.
No? Not for you.
No.
Not a turn on.
Not so much.
Who's that comedian with male comedian from America with this high pitched annoying voice?
Gilbert Godfrey.
That's the one. Oh, that's God. An unsexy voice.
Wow, you that love is, him. That is a terrible voice.
You wouldn't be turned on by him? With this great, this is his great voice. You don't like him? How about a sexy laugh, though? You get a sexy laugh, right? You get like a cute giggle. You get like a big hearty laugh. These are the things that might matter more to blind people than just the appearance. We can be very superficial if you just rely on the eyes.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't have a pleasant laugh. It's like loud and cackly, like a.
Have you got like a signature scent? Is there a certain perfume or cologne or something you wear that's just yours that you know if if you leave a scarf lying around, people are going to know it's you because they'll smell it and go, oh, this is my Bali's. Do you have something like that?
No, because I like to switch up my fragrances. I like trying new stuff. So I don't have a go-to scent.
You, Sia?
I'm still finding mine. And I think I've sort of found it recently.
Mm-hmm.
Because like the cologne that I use now is like, it lingers, but it's not that you walk into a room and you smell it instantly like I was here. That annoying sort of...
When people overdo it completely. Like pour a liter of the stuff all over themselves.
Mm.
I know what you mean. That's disgusting.
No. That's a turn off to a blind person.
Right. Must be a major factor. Ben, you got your signature thing?
Not really. Probably got about 4 or 5.
Okay.
You also have swap rotation. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there are people who think this stuff is important because it really is. Look, not just for blind people.
If I was in the dating game and I was obviously targeting blind women, I'd probably go down to one cologne.
Yeah. At least that way you know what you're going to attract. Yeah. And they can smell when you're in the room. They're like, oh, he's here again. Well, that's a sure thing. Been there already.
I actually think we can talk to Jonty about making sex toys for blind people.
Yeah. Someone says here Tom Hardy has the sexiest male voice. Who's Tom Hardy again from Yolandi? Who's Tom Hardy?
crap.
Ooh,
jeez,
Tom Hardy started Mad Max, The Dark Knight Rises, The Revenant.
Oh, right. He was the guy who should have won the Oscar in The Revenant. You actually, not that Leonardo DiCaprio guy.
He's an English actor.
Yeah.
Black Hawk Down as well.
Someone says that the thing that turns them on more than anything else is when Gilbert Gottfried does the 50 Shades of Grey.
Mm.
Don't you love that?
No.
Yes, this is from Kelly. She desperately wants it.
Okay, well, give it to her then.
You think we should?
Oh, Kelly. Girl. You in a land of your own.
This is Kelly says this is the hottest thing she's ever heard. This gets her really turned on. All right, Kelly, here, this is for you. Especially for you because you asked so nicely. All right, here it is.
Audible.com presents 50 Shades of Grey, the erotic best-selling novel read by Gilbert Gottfried.
My inner goddess has stopped dancing and is staring too, open mouthed and drooling slightly.
Hear it the way it was meant to be heard.
Keep still, he orders, and slowly he inserts his thumb inside me, rotating it around and around, stroking the front wall of my vagina. No fisting, you say. Anything else you object to? I agree to the fisting, but I'd really like to claim your ass.
Famed voice actor Gilbert Gottfried gives a reading that can only be described as sensual.
Holy fuck, is this wrong? But holy hell, is it erotic?
Okay, all right, I can't take anymore. I just got so turned off, I don't even know whether I'm a teapot or a hockey stick.
That's really bad.
Okay, great reminder, Sia. Of course, Scarlett Johansson has a beautiful voice. Well done. Kelly says, bullshit, Gareth, I didn't say that Gilbert turned me. Lies. How a person smells and sounds is very important. Yummy, says Alexis. The Unview is coming up a little bit later on. Graham Watkins is in. I see him sitting there with Nathan. Very good. Nathan Rowe, by the way, the official host of The Unviewed. Alan Ford is a co-host from now on. I want that to be clear to everybody. He thinks he can chime in at the beginning of the show and gets on the phone. You can hear he's still in bed. You could hear Alan Ford lying there like a giant woolly mammoth all over his bed.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, this is Alan.
And you know, I've had such a busy couple of days, and I'm reporting in live from Cape Town.
You could basically hear his boyfriend sleeping next to him in the bed, and he's lying there with the sheets covering just his pubic region. Oh, sorry. Poor Nathan. Jesus, what a show.
You know, Gareth, you and descriptions, hey?
Yo. And you instantly get the visuals, which is what bothers me the
Alan
most.
Alan with that big barrel chest with all that Lebanese hair all over it. You imagine it. Poor Nathan has to speak to him. It's like
oh, sweaty from the night before.
Oh. All right, so join Nathan Rowe for his show called The Unview. It's coming up next. Carl, here we go. Cindy says her sexiest man is Khal Drogo from Game of Thrones.
Oh,
that's her kind of guy.
The Khaleesi's.
The Khaleesi's
once upon a time
the
husband.
The guy who died.
Oh, the guy who died from a flesh wound. Mm. Well, he's not going to last long in life.
Exactly.
Yep.
Do you want a scallop update?
Yeah, please. Thank you, guys. Ben. I'm so glad you brought that up.
It's not going easy. It turns out that her matron at work hates her because of her fame.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this bitch even tried to sabotage her Durban July weekend by making her work like a double on a Sunday.
Because
the Durban July would have been a big opportunity for Skolopat.
Yeah, and then she had to work all of Sunday, so she couldn't exactly arrive there with a puzza. And it's just not fair. So, yeah, she just says that the fame is obviously hindering her now. But she does go on to say, I know you're asking for this, is that if only the matron knew why she needed a Skolopat in her life.
Yeah, well.
Steve. Hate is going to hate, huh?
So, is it going to come down to her making a choice? Is it nursing or is it the fame? She's going to have to pick one.
Well, the fame better start paying.
Yeah, that's
all
the
you
problem.
Sons of bitches out there just want to see her thighs but don't want to actually get her performing.
Yeah.
Time to make that change.
Pay up, all right?
Yeah, pay up.
Skolopat's not doing this for charity.
Well, we're going to have her give us an update. She's going to call in soon.
Oh, great.
It's that. Let's hear from her.
I like that we're the only people who care. We actually care about Skolopat. We're not just exploiting her for the purpose of, selling a magazine.
I think she looked rather lovely at the Durban July.
What was she wearing at the Durban July, Ben? Can you describe it?
Not
like
really,
like I
Gareth.
Described Alan Ford lying in bed this morning.
Mm. It was a very classy, kind of traditional-looking dress. She had
no thigh?
No, it was it's actually a very nice piece of couture.
You look disappointed.
Wow, yeah. It's kind of her thing, isn't it?
With elements of thatch.
Mm.
Yeah, she changed up the usual strategy for the July and
classy.
The July is not classy. That's your opportunity to be a whore.
The Durban July.
Have you seen what people wear to the Durban July?
Not Skolopat though. She's classy, Gareth.
All right.
Look how she's evolved in the last month since she came here.
Okay.
Maybe we set her on this right path.
No, I wouldn't take credit.
Never mind.
Well, there are rumors that you're giving her pointers.
Oh, let's just squash those now.
Don't forget to sign up for the Cliff Central newsletter, a brand new newsletter, which is going out. It started yesterday, and you can make your own preference selections, and you can decide for yourself what it is you'd like to hear more about and what you'd like to hear less about. You could choose to include the weather, the financial indicators, the news from the Daily Maverick, which shows you care about, and we'll be giving you updates on all the exciting stuff that we're doing here.
And Gareth, we've got an update, the box winner for last month.
Yes, of course, this is a big deal. So let's do a proper announcement, Ben. We have an announcement today for who it is that has won the box.
Right, so first of all, thanks to everyone who entered. The entries were very good, they're very creative, and there were numerous entries. But there was only one person that can be the winner this month, and that is Superfan Mfundo.
Okay, now,
I'll tell you why.
Okay, I just want to say, preface this, because I don't want people to think that we're giving unfair advantages to Mfundo, because he has been there from the beginning. He is absolutely front and center, one of our biggest fans. He supports us in every way. He tweets every day about the show and the channel, and Fundo is like family. So before you start thinking there's nepotism, Ben, explain why we gave it to him.
Well, it's just that he had the two-prong attack of just great creativity and the sheer wealth of entries. So we couldn't deny it.
Mm-hmm.
And he is this month's winner. There's just nothing more to it. So thank you to all those who did enter. But Mfundo just blew everyone away.
Okay.
Terms and conditions do suggest that this is a once-off prize winner. So Mfundo, enjoy this box.
Yeah, I'm afraid you don't get a second or third chance. You only win the box once. There's a lifetime embargo on anyone winning a second box. And we still haven't connected with our winner of the first box.
Yeah, she opened it and thought, what the hell is this?
Well, there's some good stuff in that one.
No, the first box is good. The second box is even better. And obviously, we're making great momentum here.
All right. So
third box is going to be something.
Can you reveal any of the things that were in the second box?
Well, obviously, the big headliner was my poo brown colored coffee mug.
Mm.
That was the big thing, the big draw card.
Hence
the amount of entries, I guess, just on the back of that.
Right.
But there were some very nice items in there. There was a book. There was a CD.
A signed picture of Justice Malala.
A signed picture of Justice Malala. So
where he said, "Keep it piping hot."
Yeah. So this month could be another Cliff Central celebrity. But there's great things of value in there.
All right, Ben, thank you very much.
I forgot to give that news. I was so excited about that.
Bro, have you sent it?
No, sorry.
Oh. You haven't sent it?
No, it's like kind of half written. I got into like blind sex and...
Right, well, that's very unprofessional.
Sorry.
Ben, by the way, will not be here next week. We've decided to give him a week to get out.
It's not because he didn't write
the news. Because he didn't write the news. I'm firing Ben for a week.
Suspended.
That was my last warning I was on.
Don't expect to hear from him from Monday. All right? Thank you very much. Okay, everybody, have a happy day. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. And a big thank you to everybody in the team. Thank you to you for listening. And if you want to find out more, you can go on to cliffcentral.com, where we've got plenty of brand new, piping hot, in the words of Justice Malala, information. If you missed any this morning, Daniel Minelle from the Reserve Bank, Justice Malala, or anything else that you'd like to know, you can always catch up on podcasts, which is what the smart people do. Thanks for being part of the show today. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9.
This is CliffCentral.com.